All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is John Paul Ruiz, the Director of Professional Development here at the Interest Group, and welcome to this webinar, question and answer session in regards to self-directed IRAs. One of the reasons why we decided to create this particular course is to be able to answer the questions you may have in regards to self-direction. In other words, this is our opportunity to be able to demystify for you what self-direction really is. But before we get started, I need to go through some of these slides, unfortunately, such as a disclaimer. The Interest Group does not provide investment advice or endorse any products. As a self-directed administrator, we do not offer any investments. All the information and materials are for educational purposes only, and parties are encouraged to consult with their attorneys and financial advisors before entering into any type of investing in a self-directed account. In other words, it's up to you, the IRA holders attending this course, to vet out all investments. And if you don't have the expertise to do that, it is highly recommended that you seek out the expertise of a tax or legal advisor, or maybe even another professional that's knowledgeable about the investment that you're entering into. Since the Interest Group does not have the license to offer tax advice nor to provide legal advice, this course is mainly for educational purposes only. The agenda for this course will cover the basics of self-directed IRAs and also to help demystify the term self-directed. And then we're going to dive right into the Q&A session, and we'll talk about what comes next after that if you do decide to enter into a self-directed retirement arrangement. Right. Again, my name is John Paul Ruiz, Director of Professional Development here at the Interest Group. I don't like to talk about myself, but since the slide is up there, I have over 27 years of retirement education and development in the industry, retirement industry. I have the privilege of working for the Interest Group. I've educated investors, professionals, tax professionals, retirement professionals, so on and so forth. I do hold a designation for the Certified IRA Service Professional through the American Banking Association, as well as a Qualified 401k Administrator, a designation through the American Society of Pension Professionals and Actuaries. A little bit about the Interest Group. We've been around for 40 years. We've been a pioneer in offering the self-directed platform to the masses. The self-directed platform has always been available, but it's only been available initially to high net worth investors, because self-directing your IRA is very manual as well as time consuming, and requires a little bit of a knowledge base for the IRA provider to accommodate this particular type of arrangement. But our founder decided that this should be available to the masses, and that's why he decided to enter into the space to offer this platform, not only for the ultra net worth, high net worth or wealthy, but also to everybody that wants to avail of a different type of investment beyond what the financial institution is offering. In other words, in our world, we don't offer an investment, but in turn, you, the IRA holder, can choose to hold whatever you want under a retirement plan. We hold over $4 billion in assets in our portfolio. We have over 22,000 active accounts. And again, we are one of the pioneers of the self-directed industry. Not only do we educate our own staff, but we also educate other self-directed administrators and other financial institutions such as banks, credit unions, as well as insurance companies, broker-dealers, in regards to the knowledge of IRA compliance. Again, the Interest Group is a self-directed IRA administrator. In other words, we offer the platform, the documentation, the record keeping in order for IRA holders, retirement plan holders. In other words, traditional IRA, Roth IRA, SEP plan, simple plan, employers, as well as 401k, individual 401k plans that employers hold. We administer those particular types of accounts. And unlike other providers, which it limits them to whatever the provider offers as an investment, the Interest Group does not offer any investments. But in turn, the world of allowable investments are available to you, the people that own these particular retirement accounts. We will not dictate what type of retirement or investment you can hold under your retirement plan. It's up to you. their retirement holder. In other words, an IRA holder or an individual 401k plan, SEP or a simple employer that has those types of plans, you can choose your own investments. And in turn, we as a and the Entrust Group will custody those investments for you. We do have knowledgeable staff. We do send most of our staff that are qualified to sit for the certified IRA service professional designation to sit for that exam to vet out our own employees to make sure that they have the knowledge to service your accounts at the Entrust Group. We do have several nationwide offices and strategic locations in the different regions of the United States. We do also offer in-person events. So if you have a group of investors that you'd like for us to educate them on self-direction, please do not hesitate to give us a call. We can either do it in person or virtual, just like this particular webinar. We do, again, do provide national continuing education credits for other designations as well. A few of them are the certified financial planner. So if you have a certified financial planner and what's once continuing education credits, our courses are approved. If you have a certified public accountant, our courses are also approved. We even educate some of the enrolled agents with the IRS. The ones that attend our courses can actually acquire continuing education credits through their enrolled agent designation to the Internal Revenue Service. And lastly, we do hold two schools or two events that hold the same school. It's a biannual, what we call IRA Academy. I'm the writer and founder of the IRA On Demand or IRA Academy that we offer to financial institutions throughout the country. And we offer it two different formats. One is a virtual streamed event as well as an on-site event in Nashville, Tennessee, in the Tennessee Banking Association's Barrett Training Center in Nashville, Tennessee. The virtual one is offered around the second quarter of a particular calendar year, and the other live one is offered on the third to fourth quarter of the calendar year. So if you're interested in your professional, retirement professional would like to get a designation, please attend our courses and attend our events, and we'd be more than happy to have you. Self-directed IRA basics. What is a self-directed IRA? A self-directed IRA is nothing special compared to any other IRAs. There's nothing quirky about a self-directed IRA except for the fact that a self-directed administrator does not offer any investments, but in turn leaves it up to the IRA holder to hold whatever investments, allowable investments, they would like to hold under their retirement plan. So if you're wondering, are the rules the same in a self-directed IRA as in any other IRA that is available in the nation? The answer is yes. It still has to follow the Internal Revenue Code. Internal Revenue Code 408 little a for traditional IRAs and 408 big A in the Internal Revenue Code for Roth IRAs. So if you Google those two particular Internal Revenue Codes, you'll probably, you know, pop up the Law Cornell Library, which will lead you to Title 26 of the U.S. Tax Code. And that's where the rules for self-direction comes as well. Unlike other types of IRAs, which do not engage in some of the additional rules associated with IRAs, self-directed IRAs engage in those particular pieces of legislation because IRA holders have other types of investments that they may hold in their particular IRA that has additional rules associated with it, opposed to regular types of IRAs, such as, you know, IRAs at broker-dealers that invest in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, or at banks, money market accounts, savings accounts. In self-directed accounts, since the IRA holder has the option to hold whatever they want under a retirement account, they can hold other things such as pieces of real estate, notes. They can even invest in tax liens. They can invest in private placements. To know more about the different types of investments that are available out there, the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, has a wonderful section on their website, and you can actually go directly to it called investor.gov. Investor.gov provides a whole lot of wealth of information or knowledge about the different types of investments that are allowable out there. It even has some calculators when it comes to retirement plans, such as an RMD calculator under the investor.gov, for those of you who are familiar with what we call required minimum distributions. Self-directed accounts, given the fact that the self-directed administrator does not limit the IRA holder on the types of investments they could hold under their retirement plan, offers a greater opportunity for asset diversification outside of your traditional stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. As an example, what's hot right now is a lot of people are asking, can I hold precious metals under a retirement plan? The answer is yes. The Small Business Jobs Protection Act of 1996, Congress actually allowed for certain precious metals to be held under a retirement plan, and those are American Eagle coins as well as bullions. In other words, you may be holding a coin from a different country, but those are treated as bullions as long as it meets a certain fineness according to the Internal Revenue Code 408M. And a good way to remember that is 408M, meaning metals. That particular precious metal can be held under an individual's IRA. All securities and investments are held in a retirement account administrated by a regulated custodian. The Entrust Group does have another entity that is owned by the founders of the Entrust Group Administration, Inc., called the Entrust Trust Company. Assets must be held in custody, in other words, babysat by a regulated entity. The Entrust Trust Company is a chartered trust company out of the state of Tennessee, which is regulated by the finance department of the state of Tennessee. So in other words, we go through continuous audits, as well as the trust company audits the Entrust administrator, or in other words, the record-keeping arm of the Entrust Group to keep things in check. In other words, if you engage with the Entrust Group, we do have a regulated entity called a trust company out of the state of Tennessee, and our record-keeping shop provides the additional services that we provide for you, the IRA holder, to have an IRA hold those particular types of investments, such as documentation, IRS reporting. Those are generally all handled that is associated with an IRA at the Entrust Group. Additional tax returns, however, is the responsibility of the IRA holder, such as your 990T, so on and so forth. Now, benefits of self-direction, again, means that you, the IRA holder, can take control of your investment decision-making process instead of being limited to what's offered by the financial institution, which means greater asset diversification. Some people say, well, my assets are diversified. I'm invested in different risk tolerances in the securities world. But I was talking to a broker and I told him, if you're invested in the securities world, and even though you're diversified, that's the only place that you're invested in. What about other types of investments, such as precious metals, again, as I mentioned earlier, or even real estate? Well, some of the IRA providers out there cannot offer that. So what we sometimes do is go in conjunction with holding assets at a broker dealer. Some individuals may also own a portion of their retirement plan assets under a self-directed administrator's program to diversify the assets that they hold under their retirement plan and enjoy the same tax benefits that they would enjoy for the same plan in other financial institutions. So in other words, it's not treated any different than any other IRA you may establish at another financial institution, but there may be additional rules around self-direction. Now let's open up the lines for any questions you may have in regards to self-direction. As Andrew, our moderator, said, and the one that's in charge of this particular call, we're going to go for 75 minutes. So not only will we answer the live questions, I've also gotten a slew of questions in writing. So I guarantee you we're not going to run out of questions. So if we'll bounce back and forth maybe for some of your live questions, as well as talk about some of the questions that may have already been turned into us when it comes to the questions that have been sent in by some of the people attending this particular course. All right.
Great, JP. I got a few here from the live audience, and then we could kick it back to you. That sounds good.
Okay.
Great. Question one. John asks, please clarify how SDIRAs handle private equity shares that are converted to public securities when the company does an IPO. They're asking because some of our webinars and emails state that this conversion is permitted, but the advisors say that Entrust is not allowed to accept the converted securities. Can you comment on this?
Well, it really depends upon the public securities. I don't know why they would say we're not allowed to hold that particular security. Well, since we are a trust company, there are limiting factors involved in some of the securities that individuals hold under their retirement plan. So it's not an interest group issue. It may be an investment issue that would restrict that particular investment security to be held by an entity. I don't know why they would say we cannot hold it. We do have a trust company that can hold those particular securities. And in other words, custody those particular securities. And that's my comment on that particular question.
Linda asks, does Entrust offer automatic RMDs for the accounts held by you?
We do offer an automatic distribution, but we will not calculate the RMD and distribute it for you automatically. And the reason for that is this. There's notice 8838 that was issued in 1988 that the IRA holder can actually take their distribution from any IRA that they own. So therefore, we will not take responsibility to make sure that a required minimum distribution or the amount of required minimum distribution is automatically distributed by the Entrust Group, meaning we will not take on the responsibility of making sure that an amount of your RMD is distributed since you have multiple IRAs at multiple different locations. However, if an IRA holder does want a systematic distribution on a yearly basis, given the fact that the RMD amount is provided by January 31st of that calendar year to be distributed by December 31st, it's up to the IRA holder to tell the Entrust Group what amount of their RMD they would like to take out of the Entrust Group to make sure that they satisfy that particular amount. So there is a mechanism to have a systematic distribution, whether it be weekly, quarterly, or maybe even every 6 months. But ultimately, the IRA holder is the one that's responsible to distribute the correct amount of their RMD when they have an RMD for a particular year.
Great, thank you very much. Cool, next, Richard asks, is crypto permitted? Complications, question?
Well, crypto is not necessarily addressed as allowed under an IRA, but the SEC, Adam Atherton, I'm just gonna tell you his name, Adam Atherton, who is one of the enforcement individuals in the SEC, as well as the Treasury, is trying to put their arms around this thing called crypto. You can, I mean, there's no restrictions on holding crypto under an IRA. However, there are some issues, such as crypto wallet providers typically will require that an individual or an entity establish a crypto wallet under their individual retirement arrangement. And of course, if it's an IRA owning a crypto wallet, well, then that kind of prohibits that IRA from holding a wallet because it's neither an individual nor an entity. So what some institutions have done, what IRA holders have done, is that certain individuals may have set up an LLC as an example, an entity, and the IRA in turn funds that entity, and that LLC main purpose is to invest in cryptocurrency. That has worked. The Entrust Group is also trying to work with some of the crypto wallet providers to explain to them and educate them on what an IRA is. So that eventually, I would believe in the future that there will be crypto wallet holders. In other words, they're the ones that put in safekeeping the keys for each one of the cryptocurrencies that an individual may have purchased under that crypto wallet. But now they have an agreement or an arrangement between an IRA provider and that wallet on the rules and intricacies in holding crypto or any type of investment under an IRA, such as you cannot make a contribution directly to your crypto wallet without notifying your custodian, as well as you cannot take a distribution out of your crypto wallet without the knowledge of your custodian, because in an IRA, whatever comes in has to be reported to the IRS, and whatever comes out has to be reported to the IRS as well. Some of those procedures and some of those methods of record keeping has not been connected yet. In other words, the custodian does not have any control over those crypto wallets. In my conversation with one of the senior legal counsels in the IRS, that has to be in place in order for to be a legitimate type of transaction. Why? Because of this thing called nature of constructive receipt that is in our tax code in the United States. If an individual can control and access assets under a retirement plan at any given time and use it as spendable cash, whether it be make a distribution to themselves or contribute to that account. In other words, they have constructive receipt for that account. Therefore, it may lose the tax advantage privilege of a retirement plan. In other words, if you have access to it, essentially you've taken a distribution. The Entrust Group is one of those pioneers of organizations that's trying to work out, again, in educating crypto wallet providers that an IRA must be treated a little bit differently than your other investors, such as individuals or entities. So to answer your question, I wouldn't say it is allowed per se, because the IRS does not approve or disapprove investments. And that's another misconception that some people have, is that the IRS actually has a brochure. I believe it's publication 3121. It's in that series that the IRS actually explicitly says, we do not approve or disapprove investments. But in turn, they need people who are holding investments under a retirement plan must follow the rules associated with IRAs. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, JP. Next question. Sally asks, my SDIRA is new this year. It contains an ultra high yield SPV in parentheses, CP in MA. Not expecting any repayment of P&I in 2021. Where do I go to get the data for the FMV? Entrust or the company that received the loan? Thank you.
The Entrust is not responsible for getting the fair market value of a particular investment held under a self-directed account, given the fact that the IRA holder was the one that seeked out, vetted out, as well as acquired that particular investment under their IRA. According to Article 5 of the IRA document called the 5305 big letter A, for a traditional IRA, as well as in a Roth IRA, it's the depositor or the grantor of the IRA is responsible to acquire that information and provide that to the custodian in order for the custodian to do their job as a custodian. In other words, provide the fair market value to the Internal Revenue Service on a yearly basis, as well as report on that particular type of investment. So in other words, to answer your question, it is the IRA holder's responsibility to get that from the value of that particular investment from the investment provider. In other words, whoever provided that particular loan to that IRA holder's IRA.
Great. Thank you very much. Next question. Michael asks, how do you transfer funds held through Entrust into bonds if you choose?
Let me requalify that question. How do you purchase bonds with assets or cash you have in an IRA? The answer is, if it's cash, you just basically direct the Entrust Group, and that's where the self-directed term comes in. You instruct your custodian to purchase that particular bond under your retirement plan. Now, if you're saying transfer, I'm also going to try to read between the lines of your question. If somebody has another investment that's not liquid, what you could do is sell that particular investment and the cash could be directed to purchase that bond. So if it's already in cash, all you have to do is instruct your custodian via a form. Our form is what we call a bi-direction letter. A bi-direction letter is a written affidavit that the IRA holder is requesting the custodian to purchase a particular investment. In this case, it's a bond. However, if the assets in an individual's IRA is illiquid, they would need to create liquidity to purchase that bond. So therefore, assets in a person's IRA would need to be sold and to turn it into cash to buy bond. So in other words, if you wanted to buy bonds, you have to have cash under your IRA.
Great. Thank you very much. Cool. I'm going to take one more from the live audience, JP, and then we'll take a small break and shift it back over to the pre-event questions. So question from Courtney. Can I put existing real estate into a self-directed IRA, or does the IRA have to purchase it initially?
Well, there are contribution limits in an IRA. That's where the IRA rules comes into play. The maximum contribution to an IRA, annual contribution, is $6,000 for an individual who is under the age of 50, assuming, of course, they have enough earned income to support the contribution. If they're 50 and over, the maximum contribution is $7,000. Now, other ways to fund an IRA is not just via an annual contribution. Other ways to fund an IRA is via a transfer from other IRAs of a similar type. So in other words, if somebody has an IRA at Fidelity, what they could do is basically liquidate the assets in a mutual fund and transfer that to a self-directed account, such as a self-directed account under the interest group. Another way to fund an IRA to be able to purchase a piece of property, as an example, is via a direct rollover from a previous employer's employer plan, such as a 401k plan, 403b, or governmental 457b plan. But to respond to your question, can I put an existing real estate in an IRA, outside of an IRA, into an IRA? The answer is no. All contributions must be in cash. And once the cash is in there, the cash under the IRA can be used to purchase real estate. So in other words, you cannot contribute real estate, but assets within an IRA can be used to purchase real estate. Now, let me take your question a step further. There are those individuals that may say, I don't have enough money in my IRA to purchase a piece of real estate that I would like to buy. Well, there is a special loan called a non-recourse loan, given the fact that the IRA holder cannot extend credit to the IRA, nor can they basically purchase the piece of real estate with assets outside of an IRA. So therefore, if the IRA is going to purchase a piece of real estate and they don't want to partner with anybody else, the IRA can actually acquire a loan. That loan is what we call a non-recourse loan. But keep in mind, if an IRA has a non-recourse loan, a portion of the assets that was used to purchase the investment did not use IRA assets. So if it did not use IRA assets, therefore the portion of income that is received by that IRA proportionate to the amount borrowed will be taxable and will require the IRA to file a tax return called an IRS Form 990T. The technical term for that income that is taxable to the IRA is what we call unrealized business income tax, or UBTI. Now, keep in mind, there is also a special term for the tax associated with the tax associated with the income of the IRA because it borrowed money. The technical term for it is what we call unrealized debt financed income. To read more about unrealized debt financed income, there is a publication, IRS publication 598, that talks more about tax-exempt entities such as an IRA receiving income that is taxable. Now, keep in mind, since the IRA also has to file a tax return, it must also acquire its own EIN number. In other words, it has to have its own tax identification number to file the return. So each IRA that is investing in, let's say, an investment that has unrealized debt finance income, or if the IRA receives what we call trader business income and it has to file a tax return, it must acquire its own EIN. The IRS has what we call the IRS Form SS4, which allows for an IRA to apply for its own EIN. And if an individual is going to go through the application electronically, once all the entities on the very first page of that electronic filing, it may not say IRA up front, but there's a second page to that. What you would need to do is go down that website, go down that, scroll down those entities and click other. And on the other side of that, you will see your IRAs as well as individual or 401k plans when it's acquiring its own EIN. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you very much, JP. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, JP, if you don't mind, if you could now come back to the pre-event question. Yes, okay. Looks great. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your patience. Internet's kind of spotty right now with the weather on where we're at. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, if we could transfer now to the questions that you kind of bolded beforehand that were popular event questions, because I know we got a whole lot. And we'll go for about 15 minutes, and I'll switch back to live audience questions.
Perfect. Let's take a look at the first one. How are taxes calculated for a Roth conversion? Is the basis of the cost of the asset figured into the amount converted? Let's briefly cover what a conversion is. A conversion is taking an existing traditional IRA that has never been taxed before and moving the assets to a Roth IRA to avail of the tax-free nature or of distributions upon attaining what we call a qualified distribution event. In other words, if you have traditional IRA assets, those assets have never been taxed before. Some people like the Roth IRA. So therefore, they're saying, well, can I convert or move my traditional IRA assets to a Roth? And the answer is, yes, you could. But keep in mind, in the year of conversion, the traditional IRA assets that have never been taxed before will be taxed in the year of the conversion from a traditional to a Roth. And the reason for that is, let's be honest, do you think Uncle Sam will let you go from an IRA that's never been taxed before to an IRA that will never be taxed again without paying the tax? And the answer is absolutely not. So in the year of conversion, there will be taxation. Now, keep in mind, when we're taking a look at an asset, and the question is the basis of the cost of asset figured into the amount to converted? The answer is that does not come into play. The IRS says whatever the value of an investment is under an IRA, if it's cash, it's easy. If it's $100,000, that whole $100,000 will be includable as taxable income in the year of conversion. What if there's a house or stock? The IRS says the fair market value of the investment at the time of conversion will be the amount that will be taxable if you convert in kind. In other words, not sell the property, but instead just move the property from the traditional IRA to the Roth IRA. So in other words, if the fair market value of the property at the time of the conversion is what's going to be used to determine taxation, what's the moral of the story? Pick the time when that investment is at its lowest figure. In some fortuitous events, such as a drop in the market, or in other words, a devaluation of a particular investment, that's the best time to convert from a traditional IRA to a Roth. Why is that? Because the lower converted amount will be the amount that's only going to be subject to tax in the year of conversion. So therefore, the individual would avail of the drop in the value of a particular investment if they converted at the right time. I hope that answers that individual's question. Here's another question. What are the income tax requirements for a self-regulated IRA as it relates to early withdrawal or partial withdrawal when I turn 65? I don't know where the age 65 comes in, as well as IRAs are not self-regulated. They are a regulated entity. However, the self-directed term means that the IRA provider does not offer an investment. The IRA holder is the one that chooses to hold whatever type of investment they want under an IRA. So in other words, if an IRA holder has an IRA at a self-directed administrator, the same rules apply. So if an individual is taking a distribution prior to the age of 59 and a half, they generally would be subject to the early distribution penalty of 10%, unless, of course, they qualify for one of the exemptions to the 10% penalty. And here's a short list of them. Attainment of 59 and a half, obviously, is one of them. Death would also be an exemption to the 10% penalty. You don't want that to happen, but it is an exemption to the beneficiaries that are going to be taking distributions on behalf of that deceased individual. Disability is another one. The definition of disability follows the Internal Revenue Code 72M, which lists or explains what disability means according to that section of the code. Purchase of a first-time home. In other words, if you haven't owned your primary residence 2 years prior to the purchase of one, you can actually take a distribution of up to $10,000 if you're under the age of 59 and a half, and that distribution will be exempt from the 10% penalty if used to purchase a primary residence. Another one would be if you become unemployed and you need to pay, you want to continue your health insurance from a previous employer called COBRA. COBRA distributions from an IRA will be exempt from a 10% penalty. There are other socially responsive reasons for the exemption to the 10% penalty that could be found under the IRS website, www.irs.gov. Another place to find what those exemptions are is publication 590B, Along with that, there is also another form, the IRS form 5329, which will explain what those exemptions are. And that's actually another way for the IRA holder to communicate to the IRS that a distribution may be exempt from a 10% penalty. That, again, is the IRS form 5329. So I hope that answered that individual's question. Another question is, a condo in a self-directed IRA is rented out through a management company. They use Airbnb to obtain renters. Well, it's an open-ended question, and that definitely is allowable under a retirement plan. As a matter of fact, the income for that Airbnb is not taxable when it's received by an IRA, since it's considered what we call passive income. Here's a good question. Are the federal rules changing in regards to self-directed IRAs? What they're alluding to is that the HELP Committee, the Health, Education, Labor, and Pension Committee, consisting of two Republicans and two Democrats, which is headed right now by Congressman Richard Neal, made some proposals that could affect IRAs in the future, such as if an individual has more than $10 million in their IRA, they will no longer be able to make a contribution if that proposal did pass. If people who have more than $20 million under their IRA must also deplete their account, first distributing from Roth IRAs until they get to the $20 million, and then from there, 50% of balances above $10 million must be distributed on a yearly basis to get it down to $10 million. Now, I don't agree with that proposal, but that's what the proposal says. Another portion of that proposal says that individuals who have adjusted gross incomes in excess of $400,000 for a single filer, $425,000 for a head of household filer, and $450,000 for a married couple filing a joint tax return may no longer convert their traditional IRA assets to a Roth IRA, as well as they may no longer contribute to a traditional IRA. Now, keep in mind, this particular proposal has not passed, nor has it been written into law. Some of the provisions did go through the House, and it's being reviewed right now by the Senate. But of course, a lot of you who know how legislation works in the United States, it still has to go through what we call a conference committee. In other words, that conference committee will still make adjustments to those particular provisions within a bill that was passed in the House. And the changes may drastically affect the ultimate outcome of the bill, which means that the provisions that I spoke about may not be included in the particular legislation. There are other proposals already that have already been disregarded or not included, such as not allowing IRA LLCs under an IRA, as well as preventing from IRAs to invest in private placements. But those two provisions have been tabled and not been included in the proposals. The ones I mentioned are the only ones that are still hanging out there. However, I did catch wind that Congress may postpone those provisions and table it to tax year 2022, which means it may not be in effect at all if passed until tax year 2023. Now, keep in mind, it's election year next year, and whoever wins the House, as well as the Senate, will also determine what types of laws will be passed in those particular tax years. So there's more to come on those particular provisions that has been catching a lot of press or media out there, but nothing has passed as of yet. So at least more to come. That's all I can say. So at least know that there are proposals out there that could affect how IRAs are handled moving forward, but those provisions have not come to fruition as of yet. All right. Here's another question. At what point age can we take asset out of a self-directed IRA, and how do minimum distributions work for self-directed IRAs? Just to answer the question simply, you can take money out of an IRA at any given time. It's just going to be depending upon the IRA that you're working with. It could be subject to a tax if it's a traditional IRA, and depending upon how old you are and how long you've held an IRA, it may be tax-free if it's a Roth IRA. So in other words, the same distribution rules work with self-directed IRAs along with any other type of IRA you may have. A good resource to read up on the distribution rules on IRAs is publication 590B. The IRS broke down the IRS publication 590 into two parts. One publication, 590A, deals with contributions. And for your question, 590B was broken out to deal with what we call distributions. Now, you may be asking and thinking, how do I take tax redistributions out of my IRA if it's a Roth? Well, you must have had a Roth, any Roth, for 5 years. So in other words, the moment you contribute to a Roth, a clock starts ticking as of January 1st for which that contribution was made. So in other words, if you made a contribution today and this is your first Roth IRA, your clock for all of your Roth IRAs started as of January 1st of this year. After 5 years and you attain 59 and a half, another provision is death or disability, then all your Roth IRAs are tax-free for the rest of your life. In other words, not just that one Roth, but all of your Roth IRAs that you contribute to or establish subsequent to your first contribution will now be tax-free because the five-year clock is initiated by any contribution you've made to any Roth. Now, when it comes to RMDs, which is a part of your question, traditional IRAs are subject to RMDs. Now, keep in mind, if an individual is required to take a minimum amount, and that's what RMD stands for, required minimum distributions, if an individual is required to take a minimum amount out of their IRA, there has to be a level of liquidity in the IRA in order for that individual to distribute that portion out of their IRA. What I mean by that is, what if an IRA owns a house? Well, what are you going to do, distribute a portion of the house? You could, but it's very costly when it comes to re-recording a portion of that house. So therefore, it does require liquidity. The reason why some people find a sense of urgency to distribute a required minimum distribution is because any required minimum distribution that is failed to be distributed has a penalty incurred by failing to take out any portion of that RMD in a particular year. The penalty is 50%. Now, keep in mind, if an individual takes a minimum distribution from an IRA, that will be subject to tax. And depending upon what bracket this individual is in, a big portion of that amount will be also going paying towards the tax. So you have to weigh whether or not you want to pay the tax on the amount distributed, or do you want to just pay the 50% penalty? Some people who have illiquid assets in their IRA counting on a future increase in their particular investment under an IRA, such as real estate, may say, I just want to pay the 50% penalty instead of having to take the required minimum distribution. That is an option. So in other words, either you take an RMD out or you pay the 50% penalty using the IRS form 5329 I mentioned earlier. So for calculating RMDs, it's calculated the same way. We take the prior year end balance of the IRA, and that's why the fair market value is very important, and that has to come from the IRA holder. The custodian, in turn, will provide an amount to the IRA holder in that particular year that they had that IRA's fair market value in their systems, dividing it by a life expectancy multiple. That life expectancy multiple will be based out of the age that the individual would attain as of their birthday that year. There's a chart the IRS provides, and whatever that multiple is, last year's balance is divided by that multiple, and voila, you have your RMD. That same particular calculation method is used for all IRAs, including self-directed accounts. I mentioned this earlier in a previous question, that if you want to calculate your own RMD, you can actually go to the SEC's website, investor.gov, and they do have what we call an RMD calculator that can be used by taxpayers to calculate their RMDs from their IRAs. So to answer your question, how are RMDs handled in a self-directed account? It's the same way as any other IRA. It's just that you may have some additional issues, such as liquidity of the asset and not having enough cash to distribute the RMD, which could cause a penalty if it's not distributed. I hope that answers your question. Andrew, do we have any more live questions available? Andrew, are you there? All right, let's continue on with some of the questions that we have here. And if somebody could mute your phone, that would be very much appreciated because we're hearing a lot of background noise. Since Andrew is doesn't have any questions to provide at this point. Let me go ahead and answer another question from the pool of questions that was sent originally. Can a self-directed IRA be used to provide a loan to a business? And it's an example, builder needs financing to fund needs funds to complete a project. Absolutely. That's what a lot of self-directed IRA holders can actually invest in, is creating a loan that the IRA would loan or lend to somebody else. In other words, funds in an IRA is being lent to somebody else. And in this case, if they have an experienced builder, absolutely. Absolutely, that can be done. Let me take a look at another question. Can funds be taken from a 401k plan and transferred to a self-directed IRA? If so, is there a dollar limit if one is looking to invest? If an individual has a 401k plan, the individual must have what we call a distributable event. In other words, a triggering event. And here are some examples. You separate from service, whether it be voluntary, involuntary, divorce, death, disability, or plan termination. The most common one in most cases is if an individual quits from an employer, therefore that employer is now a previous employer, those assets in a 401k plan can be directly rolled over into a self-directed IRA and do their self-direction. Other types of employer plans include your 403b for tax-exempt entities, such as, for example, teachers. A lot of their plans are considered what we call a 403b, which is a tax-sheltered annuity or tax-deferred annuity at an insurance company, or it could be what we call a 403b7. 403b7 is a 403b invested in mutual funds. Individuals who hold 403Bs that have acquired what we call a trigger, in other words, they have a distributable event, that individual could actually take money out of their employer-sponsored plan, including your 401k plan, your 403B, 403B7, or a governmental 457B plan. Focus on that word governmental. It has to be a governmental 457B plan. If the individual has what we call a distributable event, those assets can be distributed and rolled over, not transferred, but directly rolled over to an IRA to start self-direction. So the answer is absolutely, you could do that. You can move 401k plans to a self-directed IRA, but make sure you do have a distributable event. How do you find out? Talk to your plan administrator. And one of your indications is that if you quit from an employer, that's available for direct rollover to an IRA. Now, while we still don't have Andrew on the line, it says, let's answer another question. Can I buy real estate for my daughter in a law? Are you there now, Andrew?
Yeah, sorry. I was trying to talk before unmuted, but I guess you couldn't hear me. Can you hear me now?
Yeah go ahead. You have another question.
Excellent.
Let's answer this last question that I just read and see if we could take care of that for our attendees. Can I buy real estate for my daughter and allow her to pay rent to my IRA account? The answer is no. The reason for that is that an IRA cannot engage with what we call a disqualified person. A disqualified person under Section 4975E of the Internal Revenue Code, again, it's 4975E of the Internal Revenue Code, and it can also be found in an FAQ for prohibited transactions under the IRS website. In other words, it may be what we call a retirement topic, prohibited transactions in IRAs and qualified retirement plans under the IRS website. Individuals that are disqualified include what we call family members. And the family members are defined as lineal ascendants and lineal descendants and the spouses of the lineal descendants. In other words, what's a good example of a lineal ascendant? A parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent. The spouse of the IRA holder is also a disqualified party, along with the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and the spouses of the children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. So in other words, if an IRA holder would like to buy a house and rent it to their daughter, that would be what we call a prohibited transaction. A prohibited transaction means that the IRA will cease to be an IRA as of the first of the year in which that IRA engages in a prohibited transaction. Unfortunately, that's what the code reads. And that's what they put in the Internal Revenue Code when it comes to IRAs under 408A of the code. There are subsequent portions of that code, and 408E, I believe, is where 408E2 of the Internal Revenue Code is where it says that an IRA will cease to be an IRA as of the first of a year in which the IRA engages in a prohibited transaction. As you can see, an IRA is not a right, it's a privilege, in order for you to have the privilege of allowing your wealth to grow much faster because earnings are not taxed under an IRA. You have to follow the rules. And one of the rules is what we call the prohibited transaction rules under section 4975. All right. Do you have a question, Andrew, that you want to shoot out?
Yeah. I got a small list here that if we can get through, just to give you a break from reading both sides of that.
Thank you for allowing me to, cool. to take a sip of my tea. Right.
Next question. So Randall asks, can I use an SDIRA to invest in a rental property that I own and operate? Also, can I and or my wife use an SDIRA to invest in a townhome development project where I am the developer?
I would say, I hope everybody heard that question. I would avoid that. The reason for that is if you want to invest in a piece of real estate that you already own, then that is what we call a prohibited transaction. Along with that, if you are the developer, in other words, you are a you have some sort of function within that particular investment, and the developer could mean a lot of different things. That's why I'm answering this question generally, right? I would say avoid that transaction. There are other ways to fund other developments or rental properties without the IRA holder being involved. Because under Section 4975, it says any sale, exchange, leasing, and number four is performing services for an entity that is owned by an IRA is considered engaging in a prohibited transaction. I would say don't jeopardize your IRA in doing so. But of course, seek the assistance of a competent legal or tax advisor. But I'm just pointing out that that particular section of the code prohibits an IRA holder from performing services in an investment that is owned by their retirement plan to avoid coming close to what we call a prohibited transaction. Because again, that IRA will cease to be an IRA as of the first of that year if you engage in a prohibited transaction. Now, another question a lot of people ask is, what if the IRS, how is the IRS going to catch me? Well, I kind of try to avoid those types of conversations, because what that means is that somebody is actually engaging in a prohibited transaction and asking, how is the IRS going to find out? The IRS is going to find out in the event of an audit, right? The IRS will only find out in the event of an audit. But honestly, you know, it's like passing a stop sign. If you pass a stop sign and there's no cop there, there's no harm done, what some people say. But if there's a cop there, you do get a ticket. But the moral of the story is it still violated the law. So to answer your question, the answer is I would avoid it, but seek the assistance of a competent tax or legal advisor. All right. Next question, Andrew.
Thank you. Next question. Can an SDIRA invest in an entity that I own 20% in? So basically, can I use my IRA to invest in an entity that I own 20% of?
Okay. To generally answer your question, the rules state that an entity that is owned 50% or more by an IRA holder would constitute a prohibited transaction. So by owning a minimal amount on the surface, would appear that it would be something that you can invest in because you have not hit that 50% threshold. Now, keep in mind, there are other arrangements that could be included in that owning that 20% investment in a particular investment, and that goes beyond my answer. So generally, to answer your question, it does not meet the 50% threshold. So generally speaking, which the Department of Labor would also answer that way, that generally, yeah, it should not be an issue unless, of course, you're an officer of that company and you have the discretionary authority over that company. Owning 20% in discretionary authority means that there could still be room for potential abuse. But if you're not an officer and you're just a 20% owner of a company, generally that would be allowed under the guidelines under Section 4975. All right, Andrew, you got another question?
Mm-hmm. So I can't remember if this was covered exactly, but I'm just going to ask this short one. So When a privately held company investment has an exit through an IPO, can those shares be transferred from Entrust back to their brokerage account?
Any investment that cannot be held because there's a restriction on the type of custodian that could hold a particular security, as an example, if it's held under an IRA, existing IRA already, like for example, if it's held under the Entrust IRA and it's converted stock in the event of an IPO into something that, let's say that the investment cannot be held under the Entrust group, of course, it could be transferred to another IRA at a broker-dealer, as an example. It could be transferred to Schwab if they were willing to accept it, TD Ameritrade, Edward Jones. So those are some of the broker-dealers. So to answer your question, yes, if Entrust is not allowed to hold that particular investment and must be held under, for example, a broker-dealer, then absolutely it can be transferred as long as it's the same type of IRA. If it's a traditional IRA at the Entrust group, that can be transferred to a traditional IRA at Schwab. Again, traditional IRA at the Entrust group, Edward Jones. Whichever entity is allowed to hold that particular investment vehicle. All right, next question, Andrew. There's a lot of questions, but we're trying to answer them as much as we can.
Yes, we are. All right, next question. Can additional individuals be brought into an SDIRA if the SDIRA purchases as an investment property, however, realizes that additional funds are required? Can the trustee bring their spouse or children to replenish funds?
Okay, let me read between the lines. Okay, an IRA holder invests in a particular investment. Can an IRA holder who owns at least 50% of an investment bring in other investors? The answer to that question is yes. But if the IRA holder, if the IRA already owns 50% or more of a particular investment, the initial investment, and you want to add funds to that, I would highly recommend not to partner with disqualified parties. And the reason for that is it could constitute a prohibited transaction. But to add in other investors, absolutely. Arm's length transaction, not an issue. But if you're bringing in disqualified parties such as family members, it could be an issue. Now, keep in mind, the definition of family members means lineal ascendants and lineal descendants, which does not include a brother, a cousin, just as an example, an aunt or an uncle, because those are not lineal ascendants and lineal descendants. So when I say family member, I need to qualify that family members just means lineal ascendants and lineal descendants for prohibited transaction purposes. All right, Andrew.
Thank you very much. Okay, next question. If I own vacant land in an SDIRA, is there a way for me to develop that property without jeopardizing the IRA status of the property?
Oh, okay. Is there a way for an IRA that holds vacant land to develop that property? Sure. As long as there's enough money in the IRA to be able to, number one, hire a developer, number two, develop that piece of property under the IRA, that's very possible, and that happens actually quite a bit. Now, to invest your own money in developing that piece of land that is held under your IRA, I would say try to avoid that situation, because again, if you personally, who's the IRA holder, the fiduciary of that IRA, is engaging with an investment under your IRA, then that could be considered what we call a prohibited transaction. But there are other ways to fund the development, one of which I already mentioned, if there's enough money in an IRA to develop it, as long as it's on arm's length transaction, there is no prohibition from an IRA holder directing the custodian to send money for someone to develop that raw land under an IRA, as long as that individual that they're engaging with is a non-disqualified party. So to answer your question, absolutely, there are ways to do it. Or another way to do it is if the IRA gets a loan. Again, I mentioned earlier that there are loans called non-recourse loans, and you just need to vet out or find a provider that would fund that particular development if you so choose to go down that direction. The Entrust Group website, www.theentrustgroup.com, has a lot of resources available to that in that website, including a list of what we call non-recourse loan providers. And a lot of them are banks. And but just be prepared that the down payment for those particular types of loans are a little bit higher than your normal retail loans, because the non-recourse loan provider wants to make sure that there's more skin in the game. The loan to value may be 50% down payment. The ones that I've seen as low as 35% down payment. So it's very possible to be able to do that. All right, another question, Andrew. I hope that answers your question, by the way.
Thank you very much. Next question. So when you go to close an IRA, must you get rid of any assets being held in that IRA first?
To close an IRA, when you're saying you're terminating that IRA, well, if there's assets in the IRA, it would not be closed. So therefore, all assets under that IRA must be distributed in order for you to close. Or when I say distributed, I also include transferring it out of the self-directed account, moving it to another IRA provider. In other words, let's say somebody purchases a piece of property under a self-directed account, because that's the type of administrator that can hold that particular asset. And let's say you're done with a piece of real estate, you want to sell it. Number one, there's no capital gains. There's no capital gains tax on selling a piece of property under an IRA. So if you bought a piece of property for $500,000, now it's worth $750,000. The $250,000 is non-taxable. Now that you've converted your asset into cash by selling it, well, those assets can be transferred to another IRA. In this case, if you want to invest in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, you can move it to a broker-dealer if you want to. That actually happens a lot in the self-directed world. They ping-pong back and forth depending upon the type of investment that they're choosing to hold under an IRA. If they have not figured out whether or not they want to invest in a real estate, why send the money to a self-directed provider? Because you have not figured out what you want to do with the assets. Because if those assets move to a self-directed administrator, it's just going to sit in cash and earn nothing. So some people park their assets at a broker-dealer, as an example, until they're ready to buy. They transfer the assets to the self-directed administrator when they're ready to buy, purchase the asset, enjoy their gains, sell the investment, convert it into cash, and go back to a broker-dealer. So if you mean closing your IRA as either distribution or transferring it to another account, in order for that to be closed, you have to empty out that IRA.
Thank you, JP. Next question.
But if you don't want to close your IRA, leave a small amount in there. Some people leave a small amount of $500 as a means of just keeping that account open. Now, keep in mind, as an example, at the Entrust Group, there is no fee if you hold your asset in cash. In other words, if you want to maintain your account open, leave it in cash. We won't charge you for it. Only investments that are invested will we charge you for that particular account to remain open. So anyway, I just wanted to extend that answer. Go ahead, Andrew. You have another question. We're 12:05. We have another 10 minutes. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'll get through a few here, and then if you have a few choice ones on your end, we can wrap with that.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. Next question. Is a girlfriend and her father a disqualified person? She is a live-in girlfriend, so would it be self-dealing if I bought their houses with my SDIRA?
A girlfriend is not considered a spouse, so therefore that girlfriend is not considered a disqualified party, nor is their father a disqualified party. Only a spouse. Now, keep in mind, there are some common law rules in certain states. Based on how long you've lived with a girlfriend, is the girlfriend considered a common law spouse? Now, I'm not going to get into that. There is a publication, 555, I believe, that the IRS puts out that deals with it's in the 500 series. 555, I think, is community property and marital property states, but it's in that series that deals with common law marriage, definitions. Again, do your research on whether or not your girlfriend is a spouse. And if they're not a spouse, well, then they're not a disqualified party. All right. Great. Next question.
Thank you. I think this next one is just kind of yes or no, but can you roll a Roth IRA into a self-directed Roth IRA with Entrust?
Can you roll a Roth IRA to a self-directed Roth IRA at the Entrust Group? The answer would be you can roll it, but the easier way would be you can transfer it. A transfer is a non-reportable, non-taxable movement of assets between like types of IRAs. If you just want to move your Roth IRA as an example, at Schwab, I'll keep using them as an example, or Fidelity, and move it into a self-directed Roth in at the Entrust Group, that'll be done as a transfer. What that means is that there's no reporting to the IRS because you're just moving from an umbrella of a Roth at one organization to the umbrella of a Roth at the Entrust Group. So it's the same type of IRA, so that can be done as what we call a transfer, all right? And the reason why I try to shy away from rollovers is because if an individual took a distribution from their Roth and put it back in within 60 days, and that's what we call a rollover, an individual is limited to do that transaction only once in a 12-month period. To avoid using up that one rollover in a 12-month period, conduct it as a transfer. You can do as many of those as you want because the IRS says, if I can't tax anybody anyway because you're just moving from the umbrella of a Roth at one institution to the umbrella of a Roth at the Entrust Group, well, save the paperwork. I can't tax anybody anyway. But there has to be an agreement between the two organizations that they will not report it and you will not be taxed on it. Right. So to answer your question, yes, you can transfer your Roth at another institution to the Entrust Group. Now, keep in mind, don't transfer the whole thing if you're not going to need the whole Roth IRA to invest in the alternative investment that you're choosing. Why is that? Because if it sits in the Roth IRA at the Entrust Group, it's not going to earn you anything. So it may be better off, but just the transferring just enough to whatever you're going to invest in. So I took that question a step further. All right, Andrew.
Cool. Just a couple more here that we have time for. Next question. If I have multiple IRAs, is the RMD calculated on the aggregate, or am I required to do a minimum distribution from each account?
Okay, that's a good question. If I have multiple IRAs, do I need to calculate the RMD in aggregate, or do I have to calculate in each one and distribute from each one? The answer is Notice 8838 says that an individual must calculate each IRA individually or separately because one custodian will not know your balance at another financial institution. So they're only responsible for the balance that they have at that institution. However, you, the IRA holder, could actually go through a calculator. I gave you an example of a calculator under the SEC's website. They have an RMD calculator. You can add up all your prior year end's balance and divide it by the multiple associated with your age as of your birthday, and you can come up with an amount. Now, notice 8838 also says that your distribution can come from any IRA. In other words, you can distribute any portion of whatever you're supposed to distribute in a particular year from any IRA that you choose to. So in other words, if you have an RMD at the Entrust Group, that amount could be satisfied under your IRA at a broker-dealer, as an example, or a bank or a credit union. And that's why most custodians will not process a required minimum distribution automatically, because you always have that option to satisfy your RMD from any institution. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, JP. Mm-hmm. Okay, next question. Just in general, in short rather, what is the process of rolling over a 401k to an IRA? Like, what is the first step they should take, and does Entrust help with this?
That's a good question. The first step to take is if you want to roll over or directly roll over, that's a technical term for it. You want to directly roll over. So in other words, there's nothing that's going to be withheld. It's going to be sent directly from your 401k plan to an Entrust IRA is number one, set up the IRA that's going to receive it. All right. If you have pre-tax assets, those will go to a traditional IRA. If you have designated Roth contributions, you need to set up a second IRA called a Roth IRA to receive the rollover of those designated Roth contributions. Why? Wouldn't it be a shame if you rolled over designated Roth account contributions in a 401k plan to a traditional IRA? You're going from tax-free to taxed. So you need to make sure that those IRAs that are to receive those rollovers are already established. The next step is to go to your employer. Make sure that you do have what we call a triggering event or a distributable event I mentioned earlier. In other words, an event that allows for you to take your money out of your 401k plan. If you're still working for an employer, chances are you don't have a triggering event or distributable event. You're going to have to wait. But if you do have a distributable event, you could tell your employer that I would like those assets in my 401k plan directly rolled over to the IRA that you've established at the Entrust Group. As an example, the naming convention would be the Entrust Group for the benefit of John Doe's traditional IRA. And if you could include the account number, that would even be better, so that the custodian who receives those assets will be able to delineate what they've received based on the multiple, based on the thousands or hundreds of checks and ACH wires that they receive on a daily basis. So that when they receive that those funds, that they can identify which account to put that into. If it's a Roth, it'll be the Entrust Group for the benefit of John Doe's Roth IRA and Roth account number, as an example. That's one way that to do a direct rollover, is the employer could actually send the check directly to the Entrust Group. But what happens most of the time in record keepers, as I've been a record keeper for many, many years before, in the 401k world, there is a cost to cutting the check. And we've charged as high as $75 to $125 to cut a check from a 401k plan to an IRA. So therefore, they will just cut one check. Now, keep in mind, if you have both pre-tax assets and designated Roth account assets and they cut one check, they need to be careful in providing you information to delineate what your account at your previous employer contained. And that's typically contained in the check stub. Organizations like Fidelity, T. Rowe Price, the larger ones, Vanguard, would actually send a check directly to the ex-participant made payable to the IRA that they've instructed the employer to make it payable to. But keep in mind, in some cases, the assets are delineated on the check stub. Make sure that that check stub makes it to the IRA custodian. In other words, if you're going to send that check to the custodian, that's the only way the custodian will know where to put the money that they've just received from your previous employer. In other words, your pre-tax must go to the traditional. And if you have any sort of designated Roth accounts in that employer plan, they need to be able to split or delineate that portion thereof to go to your Roth IRA. So the steps are, again, set up the IRAs that are to receive it, contact your employer, and then from there, initiate the employer to send those assets directly to your newly formed IRAs at the custodian that you're choosing to directly roll over your assets. I hope that helps.
Thank you very much, JP. Well, it is 12:15. Is there any single question on your end that you really wanted to get to before we jump and get to the remaining questions offline?
I just have one that pops out.
Great.
It says in here, do you need an IRA LLC to purchase real estate? And the answer is no. You do not need an IRA LLC to purchase real estate. Let me tell you why some people set up an LLC, that they fund an LLC to invest in real estate. Number one, some people seem to claim that if the investments are held under an LLC, there's some liability protection. Makes sense? LLCs, given the fact that it is an entity that acquires its own EIN number, do not ever use the custodian's EIN number. As a matter of fact, in the 990T instructions, the IRS have included in there, if you are going to file a tax return for that LLC, do not use your Social Security number and do not use your custodian's EIN. However, some attorneys and CPAs I've heard has been saying, get the EIN of your custodian. And the answer is that's wrong. The reason for that is, for example, the Entrust Group has thousands of people that have invested in LLCs. And if the EIN of the Entrust Group is in the tax filing of each one of those LLCs, if the IRS ever scrutinizes a tax return filed by the IRA, who are they going to come after? Well, our chief financial officer. And our chief financial officer is going to say, what is this? I have no idea what this is, because it should have been the IRA that acquired its own EIN. Now, the reason why they set up LLCs is, since given the fact that it's an entity, again, it can set up its own checking account. So depending upon the type of investment that you're going to be investing in, if you're going to, let's say, go to an auction, well, you might want to be able to write a check from your LLC to be able to facilitate that process through an auction. But if you're not going to do that, you can just purchase a piece of real estate without having an LLC. And that has been done since 1975. This whole LLC arrangement is something that the IRS frowns upon, because keep in mind, who owns and controls that LLC? Because the custodian has no ownership or control over it. As a matter of fact, in the proposals I mentioned earlier, that they were almost basically saying this is not allowed and that you need to get rid of it within 2 years. So I would say proceed with caution if you're going to do that. That has not been passed into law, and it has been stripped away from the current bill. So to answer your question, do you need an LLC? No, but depending upon what you want to do, it may be beneficial. You know, to purchase real estate under an IRA, expenses could also be paid based on the features that are allowed by your custodian. The Entrust Group has a credit card that you can actually attach and avail of under your IRA. In other words, you can pre-fund it with IRA assets, and that credit card can be used to pay for expenses, such as paying property taxes. Some counties do allow for credit cards to be used to pay for property taxes now. So therefore, that debit card, the prepaid debit card, credit card, can be used to do that. Or what if you need someone to paint a piece of real estate? That card called My Direction Card can also be used to pay for such expenses. So to answer your question, which I've kind of dragged out in a longer answer, do you need an LLC to invest in real estate? The answer is no. No, you do not. But you could if you wanted to. All right, Andrew.
Thank you. Well, that puts us at time today, JP. If you could then close us out with these last few slides. And would you agree we can, me and you, get together and handle the answers for any question we did not get to? And then I will personally reach out to anyone that did not have their question answered with JP's response. Sure.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
All right. Thank you, JP.
This seminar sounds good. We hope that this webinar was helpful for you folks. And if you, I mean, we're going to be sending out a feedback or a feedback sheet, and tell us any other topics that you'd like for us to cover. There are upcoming webinars. Mark your calendars. The next one is What IRA Holders Should Know About 2022. Register today and join us on January 26th. And again, give us your feedback on what you want to learn, and we'd be more than happy to put that on the docket as something that we could cover for the upcoming year. I can't believe it's almost towards the end of the year. If you need more information on self-directed IRAs, visit our website, and mainly our learning center. Even if you do not decide to set up a self-directed IRA right away and you're doing your research, we have wonderful learning opportunities such as articles, webinars, and other collateral material from investment providers, even, you know, some reports of, you know, what's the trend in the real estate market, so on and so forth, that could be acquired from that learning center. As well as follow us on social media for updates, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and other social media platforms. Again, visit our website, www.theentrustgroup.com, www.theentrustgroup.com. And also, don't hesitate to have your tax or legal advisors attend these seminars. Some of them are not very familiar with self-direction, and it'd be great to have a conversation not only with you, but also your tax or legal advisors, and bring them into the picture, because they're the ones that are going to help guide you through this journey of self-direction. Again, my name is John Paul Ruiz, Director of Professional Development here at the Entrust Group, and thank you for attending today's seminar. Looking forward to hearing from you in future.